Our gracious and eternal and loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the privilege and for the opportunity that is ours another Lord's Day of drawing aside into Thy presence in the precious and peerless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank Thee, Father, indeed for so ordering our steps in the week that has gone into eternity. We thank Thee, Father, for protecting us in our going out and in our coming in. And we bless Thee, Father, indeed, that we're found here this morning in Thy house, the living to praise and to magnify Thy name. And we pray, Father, that now that for a season, that as we turn to Thy word, we would ask, Lord, for a very real and for a very conscious sense of Thy presence and of Thy power. We thank Thee, Lord, for this Thy day. We thank Thee, Father, indeed, for the Lord's Day, the day in which we remember that our Lord Jesus Christ rose victoriously from the grave after He had finished His great work of redemption. And we bless Thee, Father, indeed, this morning for redemption which has been accomplished and redemption, Lord, that has been applied. And our Father and our God, we ask of Thee now that as we look at Thy word, that Thou wilt hide us behind the cross, that none will be seen save Jesus only. And we pray that each and every one of us will leave this room knowing that it was good for us to be here, for it was here that we met with Thee. Lord, we look to Thee now. Our eyes are towards Thee. Or help us in Thy great name. And we pray that Thou will bless Thy word and indeed bless what will be of Thyself. And we'll be careful to give Thee the praise and the honor and all the glory. For in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Amen. I'd like to take this opportunity of welcoming you this morning to our Bible class here in Ballymena. And we'd also like to bid a special welcome to our webcast viewers who are viewing on this morning in whatever part of the world that you're in. We would like to bid you especially welcome also, and we trust that as we read the Lord's Word together and as we meditate upon the Scriptures, that our hearts will burn within us as the Lord Himself meets with us and instructs us from His own infallible truth. I'd like you to turn this morning to Luke's Gospel and the chapter 2. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, we're going to read some verses here from this chapter. We'll read from the verse 1 through to the end of verse 12. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 1 through to verse 12. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Amen. And we know the Lord will bless the reading of his own precious and infallible word to all of our hearts. My text that I want to leave with you this morning is verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And the title that I've put upon the message this morning is Angels Announce the Saviour's Birth to the Shepherds. The first advent of our Saviour into the world was the greatest event that has ever taken place in the history of mankind. This event was God intervening in the affairs of man. The first advent of Christ was God coming to dwell in the midst or among men. And the gospel records set before us two accounts of that great event. In Matthew's gospel, we have the record of how that the wise men in the eastern country, in their own land, how that they saw the star, and they followed the star until that star led them to Herod's palace and led them eventually to the place where the Christ child was born and had been laid. And of course then we have this portion also that we've read together, how that the shepherds, as they tended to their flocks in Bethlehem's plain, how that the angels appear to them and announce to them the birth of the Christ child. And it's very interesting to read as we read through the Gospels. It is very interesting to note the contrasting receptions that there is to be found in the Gospels with regards to the birth of Christ. Because many people in the world of that particular day, they were not looking for the birth of a king. They were not looking for the birth of the Christ child. We can immediately think of King Herod, and we can think of his reaction whenever the wise men appear to him at his palace in Jerusalem. And the last thing that, or the last idea that Herod wanted to contemplate was the very thought or the very idea that there might be a rival king born into the country. Because Herod's immediate thought would be that here is a rival king born. Here is a king who will one day succeed me and take away my throne. And therefore Herod himself certainly would not be wanting to contemplate the birth of a king. You will remember that the wise men asked the question, where is he that is born king of the Jews? And we can well imagine how that Herod would not have been at all happy about that particular question or that particular phrase. And of course, I believe that the religious leaders of that particular day, the scribes and the Pharisees and many other so-called religious groups, they would not have been looking for the birth of the Christ child. And indeed, the nation of Israel as a whole, while they may have been looking for a Messiah, yet the Messiah that was to come was very much different from the Messiah that they had fixed upon their minds. And while it is true to say that there were many in the nation at that time who were not looking for the birth of Christ, yet it is also true to say that there were those who were looking for the birth of the Christ child. And in Luke's Gospel and further on here in this chapter 2, on down the verses of this chapter, we discover two ancient saints, two saints who are mentioned in Luke 2, verses 25 to 35, and I can't take the time to read those 10 verses with you, but there we read of Simeon, who was an old man. Verse 25, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel." So Simeon was one of the old, was one of the saints of God who at that particular time was looking for the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then as we go on down the chapter, you will also discover in verses 36 through 38, we discover a lady by the name of Anna. And she also was no doubt waiting for the birth of the Christ child. If you look at verses 36 through 38, there we read in Luke chapter 2, "And there was one Anna, a prophetess, daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem." So we read here in Luke 2 of two saints of God who were looking for and who were expecting the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we can go back to our text here, we discover in verse 11, in our text in verse 11, we discover that the angels announce to the shepherds the birth of the Christ child. If you look there in verse 9, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." So as these shepherds here, as they tend to their flocks by night on the hillsides of Bethlehem, these angels appear to them to make this very special announcement. And as we study the life of Christ in the Gospels, you will find that time and time again that the life of our Savior is punctuated with the appearance of angels making certain announcements or statements about him. For instance, we find that angels announced Christ's conception in Luke chapter 1 and verses 30 to 31. And there we read, "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus." Angels announced his conception. Angels announced Christ's resurrection in Matthew chapter 8 and verses 6 and 7, where they say to those who had gathered at the empty tomb, "He is not here, for he is risen as he said, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee." And angels, of course, announced the fact that Christ will return again. In Acts 1 and verse 11 we read, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." And even as you read on through the birth of Christ, or the life of Christ as it is found in the Gospels, we find that angels on different occasions that they appear to him to make announcements. We read that of the angels ministering to Christ in his earthly ministry at the time of the temptation in Matthew chapter 4. We read of angels appearing to him in the Garden of Gethsemane to strengthen him in the midst of his agony in Luke 22, verse 43. And so it is no surprise that here in Luke's Gospel too, and in our text, it is no great surprise that God appoints the angels to announce to these shepherds the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just very briefly, I want to leave with you a few thoughts from our text concerning the announcement that was made to the shepherds concerning the birth of Christ. I believe the first thing that we can see in our text in verse 11 concerning this announcement is that it was a particular announcement. For the angel says to the shepherds, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David." Unto you. This message of the angels was given to the shepherds as they tended their flocks by night. The shepherds, of course, were humble men because such was their occupation. In actual fact, the occupation of a shepherd was one that was despised by many. It was an occupation that many would have looked down their nose at, if I may use the term. It was an occupation that was very insignificant and of no real importance in the eyes of men. And yet, as these shepherds here are found in the hillsides around Bethlehem, their occupation is important to the God of heaven. For he sends his angels to them as they tend to their flocks on those plains of Bethlehem to announce the fact that the Savior was indeed born. Now, as these men, as they looked after the flocks, it's very possible that the flocks that they looked after, that they were flocks that were destined for the temple in Jerusalem. It's very possible that these flocks that was being tended to, that they would eventually be used as sacrifices in the sacrificial worship in the temple. And these shepherds were merely looking after them until such times as they would be required. And first and foremost, the message of the angels is primarily to these shepherds. The shepherds were the sole recipients of this message, and therefore it was a particular message. And you know, whenever we think about those angels, and as they come and as they make the announcement, to these shepherds, there's a very solemn thought comes into our mind. Because the angel has come, he has winged his way from the heavenlies, and he is coming to mere humble men on the hillsides of Bethlehem, and he is coming to announce to them that to them and to all of mankind a Savior is born. And that in itself is a very humbling thought, because the angels were passed by. As far as God was concerned, he passed the angels by, and he sent his Son into this world to be the Savior of men. And we read in the Scriptures concerning the fallen angels, and those angels that fell from their estate in heaven, they were left in that estate. And yet, sinful man, such as you and I, we sinned in Adam, and we fell in Adam, and God, Jehovah, thought so much of mankind and of the fallen race of man that he sent his Son, the second person of the Trinity, into this world. Paul got it right there, surely, in Hebrews chapter 2, in verses 14 through 16. There we read, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. And surely this was a particular message to the shepherds. Unto you is born this day. If we think for a moment about the word there, for unto you is born this day in the city of David. The words, that little word, day, there is no contradiction, of course, in the fact that the angel uses the word day. And the scripture here makes it clear that it was dark and that it was night when the shepherds were out tending to their flocks. If you look at verse 8 of chapter 2, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And then we read in our text, the angel of the Lord says, this day. And it's good to point out that there is not a contradiction here, because whenever the angel says, this day, he is not referring to the fact of whether it was darkness or whether it was light, but what he is referring to, the fact he's referring to an actual period of time, because the Jewish day, as I believe it still does, it commences after the sun goes down, and it runs right through until sundown on the following day. And therefore, as when this announcement was made to the shepherds, the new day would not have been very old. And therefore, when the angel says to the shepherds, this day, it is not a contradiction. It is just merely, he is pointing out the fact that there was a particular day, a particular time, whenever the Savior was born into the world. First of all, I would suggest to you that this was a particular announcement. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. But can I ask you to look at the text with me again? Not only was it a particular announcement, but I believe that it was also a precise announcement, because the text goes on to say, for unto you is born this day in the city of David. And therefore the announcement is a precise announcement, because it gives exact information as to where the Christ child would be born. And even in the latter verses of this Luke chapter 2, we even read that the angels goes on to state how that the Christ child would be recognized by the shepherds, because that he would be wrapped in swaddling bands. Now, whenever the angel states the city of David, he is pointing out beyond any doubt the exact location of the Savior's birth, because the town was none other than Bethlehem in Judea. And Bethlehem in Judea was situated 5 miles south of Jerusalem and 2,300 feet above sea level. And you might think this morning, well, of what use is that information? Well, I believe that here's the use of that particular information, because in the Old Testament scriptures, there are two Bethlehems mentioned. And you can check this out for yourself later on today if you wish. There is a Bethlehem mentioned in Joshua chapter 19 and verse 15. And it was found in the north of the country, in the land of Zebulun. And then we have the other Bethlehem, the second Bethlehem, which was in the south of the country, and of course was Bethlehem in Judea, or Bethlehem in Judah. And therefore, this is why I say to you that in our text and in this announcement, the announcement was a precise announcement, because the angel says, Bethlehem in the city of David. Bethlehem in Judea, of course, was generally known to be the city of David. It had been the home and the birthplace of Boaz, Obed, and Jesse. It was the place where King David was born. It was the place where King David was reared. In 1 Samuel 17 and verse 12, we read now, David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. Bethlehem was also the place where David was anointed king by the prophet Samuel to succeed Saul in the office of king of Israel. And we read of that incident in 1 Samuel 16, 4, verses 4 through to 13. Bethlehem, Judah, was also the place of which it was said by the prophet Micah in Micah's prophecy, chapter 5 and verse 2. The prophet Micah there prophesied that in later centuries that there would come a ruler out of Bethlehem, Ephrathah. And it would be good for us to look at Micah 5 and verse 2. And I read to you what it says. Micah says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." And this Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, in this particular verse and in this prophecy, just in case there's any doubt about who the prophet Micah is speaking about, he ends the verse by stating, "whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." And of course, there was only one who would ever or could ever be born in Bethlehem, whose goings forth has been from everlasting. And of course, it was none other than the Christ child. Micah says there, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah." Ephratah is reckoned to be one of the older names in the scriptures for the town of Bethlehem. Ephratah was the place where Rachel was buried. In Genesis 35 and verse 19, there we read, "And Rachel died and was buried in the way to Ephratah, which is Bethlehem." So the scripture and the Holy Spirit makes it very clear to us that Ephratah is Bethlehem. Micah makes it very clear to us that the one who would be born at Bethlehem would be the one whose goings forth have been from of old. And I'm sure you'll be aware that Bethlehem means the house of bread. And in John 6 and verse 35, the Lord Jesus Christ, at one stage in his ministry, he referred to himself as the bread of life. As the bread of life. And I believe that it's very significant this morning as we consider the birth of Christ and as we think about the birth of Christ even in the days that lie ahead, that it's very significant that Christ, who is the bread of life, was born in the house of bread. A very striking thought. This announcement here to the shepherds as they tended to their flocks, it was a particular announcement. It was a precise announcement. And then thirdly, it was a prophetic announcement. The angel says, "For unto you is born this day." And I know I've made reference already to the phrase "this day," but I want to take it and I want to look at it again in another light. Because whenever the angel is referring to this day, it immediately conjures up in my mind the fact that the particular day that the angel is speaking about, this day, The day had arrived, the time had arrived, when he who was the Son of God should be born. The phrase "this day" has a reference, I believe, to the fact it is a pointer back to that era of which the Old Testament prophets had wrote and of which they had spoke. And whenever the angel says "this day," he is referring to the fact that all of those prophecies of the Old Testament concerning the birth of Christ were now being fulfilled. The day had actually arrived. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, of course, we have the first gospel promise after the fall. "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." And that promise was made way back in Genesis after the fall. And without the birth of Christ, how would that promise be fulfilled? How would the seed of the woman bruise the serpent's head if Christ did not come into the world? Christ's advent, it took place whenever the scepter was departing or had departed from Judah. There's a great prophecy there in Genesis 49 and in the verse 10. And whenever Jacob the patriarch was dying, he made this great prophecy. In Genesis 49 verse 10 we read, he says, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come." And who was Shiloh? Shiloh is another name for the Lord Jesus Christ. "And unto him shall the gathering of the people be." And of course, as far as these Old Testament prophecies were concerned, and especially this one in Genesis 49, the time was now right for Shiloh to be born. The time was now right for the Lord Jesus Christ to come in to this scene of time. There are many other great prophecies. Isaiah 7 and verse 14, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And we could go on, and we could go on, and we could multiply Old Testament prophecy after Old Testament prophecy, and all of them are proving one thing, that as far as our text here is concerned in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 11, and the phrase "this day," that it was a reference to the fact that the time had come for God to send forth his Son. And Paul in Galatians chapter 4 gets that exactly right when he pens the words, "But when the fullness of time was come," the fullness of what time? The fullness of the time of which the prophets had already wrote and spoke. Oh, it had been many centuries in coming. It had been a long time in coming. Many of the patriarchs, indeed all of them, had gone to their graves. They hadn't saw the fulfillment of the promise literally, but they believed and they looked forward and they believed by faith that the promise would be fulfilled. And Paul says, Galatians 4 verse 4, that when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. I suggest to you this morning that in our text here, that this announcement by the angels was a prophetic announcement, because they were telling the fact that the time for the birth of Christ had come. The time had come for the Savior to be born. And then fourthly and finally, I wanted you to note from our text, not only was it a prophetic announcement, but I believe that it was also a preeminent announcement. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. A preeminent announcement, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The nation of Israel, down through the centuries of time, they had witnessed many saviors, if I may use the word, raised up by Jehovah to deliver the nation and the people from their enemies. But here was one that was born, a Savior above all other saviors, a Savior far superior to any other deliverer that they had ever witnessed, a deliverer who would be very much different from and give a deliverance that was very different from anything the nation had ever experienced before. Because any previous saviors or deliverers, they delivered the nation in a secular sense. They delivered the nation from their enemies. But here is one who is born, who will deliver the nation, not necessarily from their secular enemies, but who will deliver the nation from their sins. Christ was born in order that he might set his people free. Isn't this what we read in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21? We read these words, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And I believe that the people of Israel at the time of Christ's birth and during our Savior's ministry, that this was a problem that they had. And this is a problem that they struggled and they wrestled with. Because, yes, they looked for a Messiah. Yes, they looked for a deliverer. But the deliverer they were looking for was a secular deliverer. The Savior they were looking for was one who would deliver them from the power and from the heel of the Roman Empire of that day. But that wasn't the type of the deliverance that the Lord Jesus Christ came to bring. And thus, because that was not the type of deliverance that he came to bring them, I believe that they misunderstood him. They misinterpreted him, and they didn't understand his message really at all. Jesus, of course, the name Jesus is the Greek form of a Hebrew name. And the Hebrew name for Jesus is the word is the word Joshua. And Joshua, of course, was the successor of Moses. Joshua was a very successful leader in the nation of Israel in the Old Testament. He led them into the promised land. If you look here in our text, the angel says, "A Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And the name Christ, the word Christ there means anointed. And the word is a translation of the word anointed is a translation of the Hebrew word Messiah. And of course, Messiah, the king and spiritual ruler from David's race, who was promised under the Old Testament. Messiah, of course, itself also means anointed. And I suggest to you that this was a preeminent announcement, because it was announcing to the shepherds, and it's announcing to you and I today, that the one who was born was none other than God's anointed. And you know, Christ has been anointed by the Holy Spirit to be the prophet, to be the priest, and to be the king of his elect people. As we look here in closing, just at the word Lord, the word Lord signifies the kingship of the Lord Jesus Christ. These, of course, were titles that were given by the angels to the shepherds as they announce the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, today I suggest to you that in our text and concerning this announcement, that it was a particular announcement. It was a precise announcement. It was a prophetic announcement. And it was also a preeminent announcement. May the Lord write what has been of Himself today upon each and upon all of our hearts, and bless His word for His name's sake. Amen. Amen. Our gracious and eternal and loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, indeed for Thy word today. We thank Thee, Father, indeed for the truth of Thy word. We thank Thee, Lord, indeed that this text is still as relevant today as it was on that night so long ago. And we bless Thee, Lord, for the one who was born in Bethlehem. We bless Thee, Lord, for the one who is bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. We thank Thee, Father, indeed today for the one who gave His life a ransom for my sin. And I thank Thee, Father, that because of the first advent of my Savior, that I have eternal redemption. Because that redemption was only made possible as He came into the world as a babe. And we thank Thee, Father, indeed, that in the fullness of time, that God sent forth His Son. We bless Thee, Father, today for the cross. We thank Thee, Father, indeed, for Calvary. We thank Thee, Father, indeed, today for the shed blood. We thank Thee, Father, indeed, for what has been of Thyself and Thy word. Lord, take Thy word, write it indelibly upon our hearts. Part us, Lord, with Thy fear and in Thy favor. Go with us, Lord, and continue with us as we would gather for the outer meeting. Bless Thy servant, Lord. We pray that he will know Thy anointing. We ask, Lord, indeed, that he will know Thy help. And, Lord, to Thee we will be careful to give the praise, the honor, and all the glory. For in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Amen.